Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, the inimitable Robert Knott will be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome David Olson. He is the director of theater work, and their new play, A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings, is opening tonight at 7:30 at the James A. Little Theater. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you.
Now, this is, I guess you would call this children's theater.
It's theater with children in mind, that's for sure. In other words, people can bring their children to see this.
And it has, but I mean, it's more than just that they can bring their children.
They better.
Well, it was originally commissioned for children's theater.
Yes, the Children's Theater Company in Minnesota, that's in Minneapolis, commissioned it from Nilo Cruz.
Now, who's Nilo Cruz?
Nilo Cruz is a Cuban-American playwright who's really... whose, you know, star, as they say, is really in the ascendancy. His first major play, Anna in the Tropics, won the Pulitzer Prize, and everything has gone from there. He teaches also at Brown University at times and at Yale. And, you know, he started as an immigrant child there in Miami and worked his way through hard steps to find his voice as a playwright in the theater in America, and he's done it. He's a lovely guy. He wrestles with dark stories a lot, but this one is very special to him, he told me, because the darkness recedes, you know, underneath this beautiful, lovely tale.
Now, the beautiful, lovely tale is originally by Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yes, one of the great writers of all time, actually, a Colombian writer, Nobel Prize winning writer, who writes fantastic stories, his novels... And his short stories are just almost impossible to put down, I think. Lovely stories, great stories. They really, Paula, my wife and I, lived in Colombia for 8 years and really came to understand how Gabriel Garcia Marquez really speaks out of that culture and out of that place very strongly.
So. I sometimes wonder if you've lived in Latin America enough, whether magic realism starts just looking like realism.
It does to me. Sometimes I think I have a little trouble with that, I always expect the world to just immediately open up around me, and it does often, into something quite startling or beautiful. I'm taken by surprise a lot. I mean, looking at me, you might not think that's the case, or seeing how much, you know, one has to achieve to keep a theater going, you might not think, oh, this is a person given to being open to surprise and the magical and the extraordinary, but I am, and I look for it too in theater, of course. But I find it all the time. This morning I looked out my window, and Paula and I haven't had any time to work on our yard out there, or she has, I haven't. Let's be honest. And there was this petunia. This purple petunia sitting there, you know, looking so fresh and so strong this morning. And I thought, what a fabulous thing. I could spend time just looking at that thing, just watching it and learning from it. I really think that way. So coming in contact with the culture and the literature and the art of Latin America really suited me just fine. You know, I do see the world that way. And I see it that way in part, though, because of the influence of having lived and worked in Latin America and with Latin Americans.
So this play, A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings, is really a Colombian-American hybrid with maybe a dash of Cuba.
I think so. Indeed, it is that. You know,
because it was written. It wasn't a translation. At first, I was thinking when I was watching it, the rehearsal, that it was a translation, but it was actually commissioned for American Children's Theater.
For American Children's Theater, all with permission, of course, of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and his people. It tells the story that Marquez's story tells, but it doesn't tell it in the same way. In other words, Nilo has been inspired by Marquez's story and tells it in his own way. We, in turn, have been inspired by Nilo's story and tell it in our own way. We've taken our own approach to it, which is, as you were able to see last night, to really present it as if a children's storybook opened, popped open, even to the point of sort of abstracting the voices of the characters from the people embodying them. So to have that experience of the puppet theater where you hear a voice, but you come to believe ultimately that that little wooden fabric thing in front of you is who's alive and is who's talking, or the experience one has had as a child when someone's reading a story and it comes alive to you. I can still hear my mother's voice reading Heidi to me, and I can hear her doing all the voices, and I can that story is absolutely present to me through her voice. There may have been a movie or something, I never saw it. I live with it in my mind through her voice. And so when I think Heidi, I think of my mother's version of Heidi.
Well, so, and when something is left up to the imagination, it's all the more vivid in many cases.
I think it is. And I think with, you know, expecting an audience with children in it, that's a big part of the job, is to allow their tremendous capacity for imagining to have enough space. You know, adults are become a little different. I think we're all capable of the same thing, of course. But
especially those of us who have never fully grown up.
Exactly. Let's hope for that.
But there, it is an interesting sort of halfway point between puppet theater and theater, you know, people theater, because the people are on the stage. They're wearing masks, but they're not speaking their dialogue. The dialogue is recorded.
Right. It's recorded by other members of the company.
And it's not the same people who are on stage acting whose voices you're hearing.
No, you're not. There's a disassociation between the two, just like there would be if there was a puppeteer speaking from behind a curtain. So we were sort of after that this time, that little bit of disassociation, you know, so that the story lives in the, you know, in the amalgam of all the elements, that the story comes alive there. I think it'll be perfectly understandable to children who play that way all the time. They understand it all the time. Take their little dolls and move them around and give them voices. They understand that. It also was a great challenge for the actors to accomplish it. They had to memorize all the lines, even though they aren't speaking them, because, of course, they have to know exactly where they are at every moment. And also we introduced the element of American Sign Language into the production.
Now, I know the one performance, the one on Thursday, June 19th, will be interpreted for the deaf, but I was wondering as I watched them, I mean, this would be a perfect opportunity if every actor spoke sign language for every performance to be transmitted that way.
It could be, but the level of the signing in this production is probably like the level of a kind of pidgin English, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because these people just were taught this sign language just beginning a few weeks ago by an extraordinary teacher, Margie Propp, who works at the New Mexico School for the Deaf. She and I have worked for many years. I've written 7 plays for deaf actors, and she was the interpreter on those projects for me and back and forth.
You know sign language?
I have a pidgin sign language too.
So how do you write a play for deaf actors?
Well, I asked the deaf that once after having done a couple, why they thought it worked so well, because it does, it did. We had wonderful experiences. And I think it has to do with the fact that, at least the way I've approached making theater, I've learned to open myself to understand what lies beneath the surface. And I almost can't help doing that now. I have to turn that off if I just want to be with somebody and not understand what what's underlies what they're saying.
Because you get so adept at reading the many signals that a person is.
Yeah, the many signals and the undercurrents. So I was at a festival of deaf, young deaf artists once, and one of the deaf people I had worked with stood up to thank me publicly for my work as a playwright with deaf people. and said to me, in front of everybody, he has a deaf heart, which
in another context might sound like an insult.
No, it moves me hugely.
Yeah.
It means that, you know, there is that remove, that it's true, that finding a way to connect with the world. That's true of me. As a little boy, I was a little too smart, you know, a little too facile with crayons and drawing things that looked like things. And it was a little isolating, more than a little. It was a lot isolating. So I did know something about solitude, and not at home, but out in the schools. I knew something about isolation, I think. And maybe that gave me that deaf heart, I don't know. But we discovered with this production that because of the masks, the hands and arms were left free, you might say.
And there's some of them are sort of lip syncing, but that's not really...
No, they're not lip syncing. They're just dropping their chins like a marionette.
Like a puppet going wah,
yeah,
wah, wah,
wah,
yeah.
Wah, 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 wah. So that was hard, too. That's,
yeah.
That's that thing of rubbing, you know, standing on one foot and rubbing your head, whatever it is, rubbing the top of your head. It's been a very challenging. It's deceptively simple when it all comes together and is on the stage.
Right.
But it's taken a lot of doing. And, of course, we do what we always do with children, child actors. We mix them with adult actors. That's what we always do. We don't do children's plays with just children in it.
How come?
Oh, I just think that there's an opportunity that a theater like ours has to bring that world together for children that's more like a realistic world. There are adults in it. It's not just them. And they spend so much time with each other in school, like all day, all the time, just in that culture and that society. I think it's really interesting for children who are really interested in theater to move past that sometimes.
Well, it is also more like Latin American culture,
exactly.
Which is more intergenerationally mixed.
Absolutely, mixed all the way through, all the time. The children aren't, you know, sent off, even in sort of splendid isolation like many of our children are. They're still isolated and away from the adult world.
So set up the...
Ghettoized.
Right, no, exactly. And it makes for extremely different cultures and
yeah.
different sets of assumptions about who children are.
Yes, and what they bring to the world.
Yeah.
Like in this play, the children's characters are very strong, the strongest.
Exactly, you know? and the wisest.
And the wisest. And as the text says, the closest to angels, you know. And and that's not a sort of a syrupy notion on Nilo's part, certainly not in Gabriel Garcia Marquez's world. That's not a sort of saccharine idea. It's something they actually think is true. They see it as being true, that innocence and the radiance that accompanies it and the capacity for wonder is transformative. And that as we sort of move past that into shaping wonder and creating these sort of sad annual festivities that don't really embody wonder anymore at all, they're sort of done by rote, we move further and further away from the wonder that a child left with a couple of popsicle sticks and a red button can come up with.
I think we've discussed there's, in a way, more scope for imagination in a couple of popsicle sticks and a button than in a whole entire, plasticized setup where everything, you know, is done for you. Like even, I don't know how much scope for imagination there is in video games. I haven't played them, but it's a whole world that's already created for
yes.
you by somebody else.
Yes, you're a consumer of it, really, ultimately, no matter what you do. So... part of the fun with this production too has been for that, I think along that very reason, it's made of cardboard and recycled paint and recycled everything so that it has that look of the play someone might have made in their garage.
Right.
A little a little more beautiful than some of those, but not any more or less imaginative or compelling than some of those.
Well, as you were starting to mention before we went on the air, this is the first production of this play. It's the fifth production of A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, is opening tonight at the James A. Little Theater in Santa Fe. But it's the first one that doesn't have a very large budget.
Yes, it
is. So you've had to work it differently.
Definitely differently. It's the first one being done by what you'd call a small theater. Small in budget.
What's lost when you do that, if anything?
Well, I think, I don't know. I do know. You lose, you know, certain effects that you can get when you have a larger budget and all that kind of thing. But we're working with the composer who composed the music for the original commissioned piece. He's been very helpful, very excited in providing us with all of his stuff and making sure it works for us.
And it's very much of a Colombian musical theme.
Very.
Cumbias
beautiful,
and everything else.
Beautiful Colombian music. Musical themes, and we can't go off into all of that, but the way those musics embody certain meanings, but the cumbia, for example, is a fabulous dance. I've had the advantage of seeing the cumbia danced by, you know, a whole community at once, you know, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's different from the cumbia that we might see here in a club. I mean,
right.
They're holding their skirts
through
and tipping
the
their hats.
And the men are holding a candle and then never letting it drip and all of that sort of thing. Just fabulous. And then those dances, which are more Caribbean, more African-based, which spin, twirl. And a lot of that happens in the play because of that idea of the held-down flight. You know, if you twirled enough, you might fly, you might spin off the world like a top might.
Or so like an angel.
An angel might. So there's lots of that fun in working with this and bringing it to people. It is, it's very, I think it's very Latin, very South American especially. But Nilo's, of course, brought the Caribbean into it because that's his base, that's where his mind travels.
Now, we haven't even actually talked about what the play is about. Who is this? Who or what is this very old man with enormous wings?
Well, as one of the children says, when his sister says, I think he's an angel, and he says, no, he's just a very old man with enormous wings. You know, I like that little moment. You know, he won't allow his sister to just say it's an angel, then take it from there, you know. And it is a mystery. We don't get to know because he doesn't speak their language, except they read what he's thinking by looking into his eyes, listening to him.
And that's
way.
Another very charming thing is that the children can understand nonverbal language
yes.
and the adults cannot.
Yeah, exactly. So they interpret for him. It's quite beautiful. No, but he could be anything, couldn't he? Something that dropped out of the sky into this isolated village that's in a rainforest. And in fact, it's been raining for so many years that it's closed off. We don't know how the circus guy gets through. But circus guys...
You don't have to explain that in a fable.
No, and peddlers get through no matter where. I've been in places in Colombia and have seen these little funky, terrible circuses that you wonder how... With one, you know, a one-toothed lion, you know, and some sad creatures, human and otherwise, and there they are, their ratty outfits, you
and
know.
And they've gotten over mountain passes.
Somehow, and came in the back of a bus, you know, and there they are. And the circus persists, you know, no matter how gross some of it seems to be. And then you watch the faces of children, and they're as delighted as if Ringling Brothers had showed up, you know, so... I've seen all of that happily. I've seen peddlers like the one in the play who, I don't know how, is carrying everything you might ever want and then some in a suitcase. I love that, you know. It scares me a little bit, too, that somebody would sort of become a Walmart in a suitcase. You know, it's kind of interesting.
And that peddler character, of course, represents the... suddenly when somebody has money for
right.
a minute, then immediately somebody else tries
somebody's
to suck it away from
to
them.
Suck it away. It's a fun time in the play, that moment when he comes. And sure enough, the fellow who had not a penny to his name now has a couple of extra pesos and is ready to just spend on anything this guy has.
Anything at all. So the play is called A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings, produced by Theater Work. David Olson is the director, and it is tonight, Friday, And Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, and then next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. And if people would like more information, they can call here in Santa Fe, 505-471-1799. They can also go to theaterwork.org. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
No, I think maybe parents with a bunch of children or neighborhood children should know that we've had some sponsors come forward to make tickets available to children for only $5 and adults only $10. And children, whoever, anybody can claim that designation. Some 14-year-olds don't want to be considered that, but to get in,
well, let's
they
see.
Can.
By law, you're really not allowed to do just about anything until you're 18.
Exactly. So we want teenagers to see this, too. I think they'll enjoy the story, certainly, but also the stagecraft.
Well, David Olson, it's a very charming play, and we will see you there at Theater Work. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here every Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
I wasn't here last Friday.
Oh, that's true. Almost every Friday.
Okay. I wasn't here the Friday before.
You know, why do we have to be so literal in this world? We just got done talking about magic and magic realism.
I know, but every time I come on, you're always calling me on these literal things, so I thought I'd have a little fun.
All right, well,
so
you can have a literal fun. Yeah, well, also here is David Solomon. He is the director of the 707 Contemporary Gallery, which is at 707 Canyon Road, and he was formerly with Bang and Underground Galleries, and he is a curator of a show that's opening tonight from 5 to 8:30 called Talking Heads. It's an invitational show by local artists.
Good morning.
Good morning. So not a whole lot of, maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems like there's not a whole lot of galleries on Canyon Road who are opening it up to lesser known or unknown local artists from Santa Fe.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. The show is 25 artists. 5 are from the gallery, and 17 are from Santa Fe, 2 from San Francisco, and 1 from Connecticut. Outside of Jeffrey Gorman, who has representation, everybody outside of the gallery is unrepresented.
So you put out an invitation for a show whose theme is Talking Heads.
Yeah.
And just see what comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked enough with these artists that I know what to expect from them. I know what their quality is and their intellect, and I have all the confidence in the world that they're going to produce something amazing.
Did you get what you expected?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful show. It's very eclectic. It's, you know, so diverse that the theme is what ends up holding it together, and it worked. So.
Now, what the theme Talking Heads, when I think of Talking Heads, I think of people on the television set telling me what to think about the news or whatever.
That's the popular representation of it, but the earliest known in history is from Greek mythology, actually, where they believed that there were floating heads that had wings that would whisper in humans' ears and try and have influence. So it's actually a pretty old thing.
For nefarious ends, or?
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember being back then, but yeah.
And so people have represented this theme in different ways, some of them more along the lines of the sort of media imagery, and some of them completely off, and you wouldn't even know if you didn't know
exactly
the theme of the show, what it was going on.
Yeah, or if you didn't know what their concept was and how they were working with it. Some people definitely really pulled it out and made it like high concept, where you almost need a placard or me to be there to explain it to you. And then other people are very political. So, and then there's the whole gamut in between. A couple people just had fun, and a lot of people worked very lyrically. And
so all of this is happening at 707 Contemporary, which is at 707 Canyon Road, right up toward where Canyon Road intersects Camino Montesol.
Yeah, on the left. It's going to be from 5 till 8:30, and we're going to have DJ Ultraviolet, and El Matador Bar is going to be serving drinks, and then we have
tarot cards, right?
Tarot cards.
And Catherine M. Davis is going to be reading tarot cards. She's going to be a talking head speaking through the cards.
And talk about Zane Fisher.
Yeah, and Zane Fisher is going to be there. For any artist who has the guts to bring their portfolio, Zane will give you a no-fluff, 10 words or less, portfolio review. And So we don't know exactly what to expect from that, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
So and we're like 10 words, the first few of which are keep your day job.
Yeah. Who knows? But it's great because they're two of the most public art talking heads in town, and to have them participating is a lot of fun. So.
Well, David Solomon is the gallery director at 707 Contemporary. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Robert Knott.
Mm-hmm. You've had two Davids on, David Olson and
David
Solomon.
That's so very true. And then we have a mustache-free Robert Knott.
I decided to shave. I just woke up, looked at myself in the morning. I was looking more and more like a simian. So I thought, I got to go back to my Neanderthal roots, and I got rid of everything.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. There's always some commentary from you on my facial hair, so.
I know. I can't help it. I look at you, and I have thoughts about your facial
hair.
Let's
go. See, too bad. That's all, huh? Hey, turn up the fun. Why wouldn't we want to turn up the fun with Ron Romanofsky? You know Ron Romanofsky.
Yes, Dadu.
A.K.A. Dadu. He's going to be celebrating the release of his new CD entitled Turn Up the Fun at Friday, June 6th, that's last week, and Saturday, June 14th, that's tomorrow. Fortunately, you can catch tomorrow at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe on Rodeo Road. The event's 8:30. You got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number, 428-7781. I guess in terms of just not releasing his CD, he's going to do some antics. He'll be singing, and he'll be playing the, what do you call that thing that's like an accordion? The accordion. I got you already. Forget it. I got you. I'm one step ahead of you. He's going to have some support from other people, and it looks like a fun evening. Again, tomorrow night, 8:30, Rainbow Vision Santa Fe out on Rodeo Road.
Hey, guess what I went to last night, which is extended through today, tomorrow, and Sunday, Biome Neuro Norb at the Meow Wolf Gallery, which is right on 2nd Street near the corner of Cerrillos Road. And it is hilarious. Did you go over there?
No, I haven't been over there.
It's at 1403 2nd Street, and they have this little building, which is just full to the brim of madness, sort of organic, scientific, computer, video craziness. And there's a whole narrative about android people and scientists and the end of the world and atomic bombs and stuff like that that is underlying the whole thing.
But so it's upbeat.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
It's great. Anyway, yeah, well. It's from 6 to 10 tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
That's pretty good. Now, Billy Collins, who's the Poet Laureate of England, he's going to be doing a little bit of a lecture series through Bread Loaf Lecture Series at 7 o'clock tonight up at St. John's College. This is free. Meme Library Placita.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. 984-6000.
The Poet Laureate of England.
And he's here, and he'll be perhaps presenting some Paradellis, P-A-R-A-D-E-L-L-E. And this is a strange six-line stanza in which the first and second lines of the first three stanzas must be identical. Then you got to use all the same words in the last line. There's a picture of it on page 23. There's actually a sample. Jill Batson did a really nice piece on Billy Collins in today's Passo Tiempo. You should go check this thing out. If you're concerned about branding, I'm not talking about a tattoo on your back shoulder, you know, but...
Are you calling me a cattle?
No, I'm not calling you a cattle. But Lucas Conley, author of OBD, Obsessive Branding Disorder, he'll be speaking and doing a book signing at 3 o'clock tomorrow at Garcia Street Books. It's very interesting how various companies like Brawny and what's that other one? The Quicker Picker Upper, Bounty, you know, how they have these branding things and how they change brands to please the public. And there's a good piece in today's Passo Tiempo by Mr. Craig Smith. If you tuned in about 8:30 to listen to me, you must have missed David Olson from Theater Work talking about his show, which is the cover story of today's Passo. An enormous man with very old wings. No, wait. A very old man with enormous wings.
That's right.
Opens at 7:30 p.m. tonight at the James A. Little Theater. And you had a good interview with him. I listened to it on the way over.
We did.
How's it sound? Did you go see a rehearsal?
I did. It's very sweet. It's very sweet. Especially if you have young people, if you have children.
And it's not too expensive to get the children, and we can't say prices on the air because this is public radio. KSFR, what a great place. 471-1799. Read the Passo cover story and you get all the details. It looks like it's going to be a fun show. I got to mention that, she's going to hate me for saying this, but Princess Leia is coming to town. Carrie Fisher with her one-woman show, Wishful Drinking. And I have a Q&A with her in today's Passo Tiempo. And she was great to interview. She's funny. The show is hilarious. It's touching. She touches on everything, her bipolar disease, her drinking addiction, the fact that one of her husbands left her for another man, her mom, Debbie Reynolds, who I've always wanted to interview, and who's playing at like Route 66 Casino this weekend. What a coincidence. Carrie Fisher at the Lenzic, 988-1234. See my Q&A with her in today's Pasatiempo. Starts Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, runs through next Sunday.
And Jim Douglas, tonight at 6:30, is at Collected Works Bookstore, and his new book is called JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters. And he's been working on this book in some ways over the last 15 years, and talking about President Kennedy's commitment to peace and nuclear disarmament, his assassination, and what his death signifies for the peace movement of today.
Whoa. There's some theater all over town, aside from the aforementioned Theater Works show. The 4th Annual Santa Fe Dance Festival continues, hosted by Moving People, at the Lenzic tonight, 8 o'clock, 988-1234. The Last Tutor is Red Thread Collective's production of Craig Barnes' play, Bad Elizabeth in Her Latter Days. I reviewed it in today's process, not a positive review. I thought it was a little dull. It does have some good actors in it, and I must say the audience loved it. So there you go. Little Ghost of Santa Fe Performing Arts. Oh, wait, back to The Last Tutor. It's at El Museo Cultural. It opens tonight at 8. Call 455-2340, and it runs through next weekend.
Now, speaking of Moving People, tonight at Cloud Cliff, is this tonight? No, it's Saturday. Tomorrow night at Cloud Cliff, which, although it's closed, is still open for the Mambo Room. DJ Mambo will be spinning discs from 9:30 until 1 in the morning, salsa with a New York vibe.
That's pretty cool.
I think so, too.
A couple more little theater things, and we'll talk about some classical music. Little Ghost is Jason Yersick's play.
Yeah, we had him on the air yesterday.
He's a good guy and a good interview and a good poet.
Yep.
And his piece, it's a flawed piece. Joel Batson reviewed it in Pasta today, but it's of interest. 7 o'clock tonight, Armory for the Arts, 984-1370. It's a short piece, about 70 minutes. Also, I wanted to mention the College of Santa Fe's Claire Stewart Williamson New Work Series, where they do staged readings of new plays. Gary Donzig's piece, Brotherly Love, 2 and 7 o'clock on Saturday at the Weckesser, College of Santa Fe, 473-6511. You got to pay to get in. I went to last week's show, and it was really interesting to listen to what the audience had to say. I love that stuff when people do readings and then there's a dialogue after.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the people in the audience have like crazy ideas, like why didn't you make this guy a plumber, or how come that girl didn't run off with the other girl at the end of the play, things like that. This stuff's always fascinating to hear. How are you?
Do you participate in those kinds of conversations yourself?
Sometimes. I had a couple of comments of last week. Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow.
That's Saturday.
Tomorrow is, in
fact,
Saturday. There is a workshop called End of Life Care for Animals, and that's at Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And it's from 9 until 2:30 in the afternoon, and you can call 471-5366. Well, Olo Peterson is one of the most compassionate human beings I've ever known, and she is so kind to these animals, all of whom are there because they are not adoptable by anybody else. And so they're animals that are just either broken or sick or whatever, and she just does a tremendous job with them. And so there's going to be other presenters there as well. And once again, 471-5366.
Now you make me feel bad about yelling at my dog last night. It's like 3:30 in the morning, and he had to go out, so he does the regular thing. He whines. He's a good dog. And I'm mad because he wakes me up. And then he.
You need a dog door.
I have a dog door that goes out but not in. So the problem is if
you need a dog door that goes both ways.
Well, if they get out, the two dogs, then, and they're happy outside, that's fine. But if they're not happy, they start banging against the back door. So there's usually trouble. But he's a good dog. The last three nights, he's woke me up like 3 a.m., but he's very, very sweet, very cute.
And we're glad to know about his cuteness.
He loves to climb into the river when there's water. The Santa Fe Men's Camerata Spring Concert.
Yay!
You said it. Loretta
Chapel.
Ken Knight. And it's got Bill Epstein, pianist, also working with him. It's 7 o'clock Sunday at Loretta Chapel, 982-0092. And I believe there's also a Saturday show at 8 o'clock, Loretta Chapel. Once again, phone number 982-0092. We don't mention prices on the air.
I bet the acoustics are nice in there.
Yeah, probably also you'll be able to hear it well because of the ambient sound. Santa Fe Complex, what do you know about it?
Are you making fun of
me? No.
Or of yourself. Santa Fe Complex. Yes, we had them on the air just the other day as well. They have an opening of art and science. What's the exact name of it?
Emergence, the Interaction of Science and Art.
That's right.
A grand opening reception tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Where are they? 632 Agua Fria Street. Here's a phone number, 216-7562. It's free. David Cuss, our mayor, will be there at 4 o'clock. There'll be a discussion around 6, and then there's going to be an audiovisual performance by the experimental collective Noise Fold at 6:30. So it looks like fun. I may go by there if I can. I'm going to try to catch Brotherly Love. I'm going to try to do some sleeping. And I want to see what kind of Gary Cooper Westerns are on TV this weekend.
Whatever turns you on. Hey, tonight at Body of Santa Fe, at 7:30, Lorianne Fiorentino in concert, a multi-instrumentalist with a musical background in classical, jazz, blues, country, R&B, and comedy. That's tonight. And then tomorrow night, also at Body of Santa Fe, Snatam Kaur concert, and that's also at 7:30. And then on Sunday, there's a vocal improvisation workshop with Moira Smiley and Voco. And that's from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. For more information, you can go to bodyofsantafe.com or call 986-0362. Lots of stuff going on in there, and also pretty good food.
Let me remind those of you that have fathers that Sunday is Father's Day. I forgot to get my dad a card. I'll give him a call. But I'm bringing this up because Saturday there's a Father's Day celebration. And that ties in with pet adoption services from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, something that you and I always like to talk about. 12:30
p.m. Oh, yes,
PM,
we do.
Whole Foods Market Saturday. Includes music, includes food. So there's pets, there's food, and there's a gas card raffle. I'm going just for that.
So the connection is, on Father's Day, you can say, Daddy, Daddy, I love you, I love you. Can I have a pet?
That's very good.
Is that what it's about?
I would say that's a good double cross.
Okay.
12:30 to 2:30 Saturday, Whole Foods Market over there on St. Francis Drive. What time is it?
8:46.
We're doing pretty good.
We are indeed.
Not bad at all. I'll be done here in about eight seconds. Hip-hop poetry workshop. What do you know about such things? Let me tell you. The Girl Scouts in New Mexico are starting to alleviate their image. They want people to be able to accept them in this contemporary world, so they're doing a hip-hop poetry workshop in tandem with the New Mexico Culture Net. It's a week-long workshop for girls who are entering the 8th or 9th grade. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesday is when it kicks off. You go up to the Museum of New Mexico Administrative Building at 710 Camino Lejo. No charge. You call 343-1040, extension 3010 to enroll. This is in the Paso Tiempo calendar of events, which is pretty darn good. We occasionally miss something. Rob DeWalt and Pam Beach put it together. It's a good job. But this, do you want to know about the hip-hop poetry workshop? Look under Tuesday.
Look under Tuesday.
If you look under Wednesday, you'll see that Dean Stillman, L.A.-based author, is going to sign copies of her book, Mustang, The Saga of the Wild Horse in the American West, 5 o'clock, Garcia Street Books, Wednesday. We have a review of that book in our book page section of Paso Tiempo, which we've had for about 3 months now. Also have a very good review by Kendall Irvasachi of a very good book that I read called The End of Manners. Did you read that? It seems like something right up your alley. You should see that book review in today's Paso.
Okay.
And that author is also signing copies of her book, thank you, Francesca Marciano, at 5 p.m. Tuesday, Garcia Street Books. I'm not trying to plug Garcia Street indefinitely, but it just happens they have a lot of good book signings this week. Thursday night, there's a number of gallery openings for reasons that I can't quite comprehend. Sheila Wilson, conceptual artist. I'd like an explanation of that term.
Well, it's conceptual art is based on primarily on ideas, and you basically need to know and understand the idea. It's not just a visual experience, for example, like a landscape. Of course, a lot of landscapes also have concepts behind them, conceptual art often is more either text or idea-based than
what
other
do you
kinds
mean?
Of visual art.
If I think out a picture of an elephant and I paint it, that's not conceptual?
Some examples of conceptual art would be, well, it's a long conversation. But anyway, go ahead, talk about that.
Let's say I'm drawing a picture of a blonde and she's beautiful, and I'm drawing a picture of a redhead and she's beautiful, and they both happen to be sharing a bathtub together, and I've thought this out. I've thought out their relationship. Is that conceptual?
Give another example.
Conceptual artist Sheila Wilson, if you want to learn all about it, 5 o'clock Thursday night, CCA, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Reception that same night.
I guess the point is that if it's more about the aesthetic considerations, then you wouldn't necessarily call it conceptual art. So in your case, I think it would be primarily about the aesthetic considerations in that particular example, the aesthetic being your own personal one.
What you're saying is basically if you create art from your guts or your heart, like I do, there's no thought to it, that it's not quite as conceptual as somebody who puts their brains
into it. Well, for example, Marcel Duchamp did a...
That guy walked around nude on a staircase, so what?
At a certain point, put a urinal on a pedestal and called it art. And of course, you know, people have been arguing about that ever since. But it's about the concept, not about the aesthetics of the particular object.
A urinal on a pedestal. I think I stopped at that the other night on my way home from the cowgirl.
Oh, really?
I wasn't aware that it was. Gabe Art Contemporary Thursday night has Emerging Connections. It's an interactive installation and photographs by Mariano Sabdon. Reception 5 to 7. There's a story in today's PASA about it. James Kelly has furniture as sculpture artist Roy McMakin, M-C-M-A-K-I-N. I never mispronounce names on purpose. Reception 5 to 7. Also Thursday night, James Kelly at 1601 Paseo de Peralta. Story in today's PASA Tiempo. And I have to mention the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yay!
Yay, on the College of Santa Fe campus, 1600 St. Michael's Drive. They're having their open studio Thursday nights. I have not done one of these in about 2 years. I feel so ashamed. So I think Thursday night, I'll try to get over there before I go to another event.
They've got some wonderful artists there. It's like a hidden treasure because some of these folks are there for a few weeks or maybe a few months. And they do great work because wherever, most of them don't come from Santa Fe. They come from elsewhere. They live here for a while. And you just get a window into all these lives and all these artistic processes.
It's free. Diane Karp runs the train. She's a very sweet, funny lady. 5:30 p.m. It's Thursday night only. So go out to Santa Fe Art Institute, College of Santa Fe campus.
Hey, we talked a while back about the film Plum Blossom in Snow, which is a documentary about Falun Gong and the life of Jane, whose last name I can't pronounce right now. I guess it's Jane Dai, but Zhi Zhen Dai, that's what it is. Anyway, that film has been held over quite a bit at the Film Center at the Cinema Cafe on St. Michael's Drive, and it is once again tonight and tomorrow at 6:30, and then Sunday at 12:15, and once again on Tuesday at 6:30. It's been quite a popular film here in Santa Fe. It's a human rights issue that a lot of people don't know about, namely that thousands and thousands of Chinese people have been imprisoned, tortured, or even killed for their practice of what is essentially a spiritual meditative movement practice called Falun Gong.
And again, what day does it open specifically?
No, it's been here. Okay. But they're showing it again tonight.
Still at the film
center. Held over.
Good. OSS 117, an amusing spy spoof from France. I saw it. I have a review in today's PASA at CCA. It is amusing. It's like Get Smart for the French. The Incredible Hulk, for those of you that like that guy that turns into a monster and helps people, that's opening today at Regal Stadium 14. Jonathan Richards has a review of the documentary Constantine's Sword. Takes a look at the Christian movement in our military. Goofy movies like Baby Mama and Forgetting Sarah Marshall are still playing. Kung Fu Panda just opened. A review in today's PASA by Bob Bensiger. By the way, just a quick note, we have several reviewers for the PASA Tiempo. Sometimes people don't pay attention to who's reviewed a movie. We do our best to put their names in parentheses behind the movie review. So we don't just have one reviewer. Sometimes people ask us like that. And we do have a lot of different viewpoints. We don't always all agree with each other, but there's stuff there that you can see. And Girls Rock continues at the screen. I have not seen that. Have you?
I'd love to go see that. I've been meaning to go see it. I'm glad it's still here.
I have to go see Contempt later this morning, the old Godard film with Brigitte Bardot.
Mm.
I know, she's naked in it.
Hey, tonight I wanted to also mention in the Latin music vein, César Bovole of Son Como Son and Tradiciones at the El Dorado Hotel, and they are doing basically son, which is the it's the roots of salsa. It's the acoustic and very beautiful and often quite romantic and rhythmic sound from Cuba that salsa springs from. And so it's son, cha-cha-cha, boleros for dancing. And he wrote, come be transported to a simpler and more romantic time, the golden age of traditional Cuban music. And that's at El Dorado tonight from 8:30 to 11:30.
That's pretty good. John Gooch plays
piano
there.
I've heard they're fabulous. I haven't heard him yet.
Excellent. Cuban dance music, 8:30, small cover charge. 5:30 at El Dorado. Before then, John Gooch on piano. Here's a few other musicians playing around town tonight. La Fiesta Lounge has Fat Tuesday doing the blues at 8 o'clock. No cover. They need a bigger dance floor, but it's a neat place. Down in the Mineshaft Tavern in Madrid is the Family Cole. Makes sense if it's a mineshaft. They're doing bluegrass, 7 to 11. No cover. The Tin Star, one of my favorite bars, Cold Beer. They're on Water Street. EK, Latin Fusion, 9:30 p.m., small cover. Willie's Blues Club has the Albuquerque Blues Connection, 9:30 p.m., small cover. If you want to go to Fusion, 32 Stairs, there's house music and hip-hop. You got a call for cover charge. We have all these places listed with addresses and phone numbers on Pasta Tempo, page 69. Meanwhile, Amavi has Mike Owens on guitar at 6:30, no cover charge, and Jerry Carthy doing Irish tunes at the Hilton on Sandoval, 8:30, no cover. I love the Hilton bar in the winter because they fire up the fireplace, but in the summer I never go in there. What time is it?
It's 8:55, and I wanted to let people know, hey, tomorrow is Flag Day, and at 11 o'clock in the morning, the Massing of Colors, the Santa Fe chapter of the Military Order of the World Wars in association with the Department of Veterans Services presents the 13th Annual Massing of the Colors at the Veterans Memorial Monument Bataan Building at 407 Galisteo near Alameda in Santa Fe, featuring the mast flags and banner of uniformed, active, and historical military, civic, fraternal, and other units. That and much, much more. For more information or to participate, you can call 466-4242.
And let me mention that the Reverend Horton Heat's playing. 8 o'clock, Saturday, Santa Fe Brewing Company. Got to pay to get in, 988-1234. It's been fun. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. I wasn't here for a week.
I know, I wasn't here either. Except I was here in town, but I wasn't here on the show. Today is Friday the 13th. A lot of people think that's bad luck. Somebody took me under a ladder the other day, and I'm not kidding you when I say last night I had antics with a black cat named Murray, who kept like, you know how like cats...
When you say antics, can you explain further what you're actually...
Like you're sitting there with a pen in your hand, and you're chatting with somebody, and you're making the pen move, and the kitty cat thinks it's time to play. And he launches himself up and like puts all four of his paws around my arm, and then like he gets his teeth around the pen.
And then claws them.
Well, there's some clawing to be sure, and then, you know, so there's, I'm scared to tell you the truth. Friday the 13th, a ladder, kitty cat, black, bad news.
Yeah, you're a superstitious kind of guy.
Well, not just that, but sort of supercilious. People think I'm very silly, and I think I'm just extra silly. Cover story in Pasa is Theater Work. You had them on this morning.
Looks yes,
like
we
a
did.
Fun show.
Oh, it is. It is a very great fun show. Let's see, tonight at Gig,
tonight?
Did you already say that?
No.
What's going on there? The vocalist Catherine Stately and guitarist Bruce Dunlap will be performing. And then Saturday, the legendary Irish troubadour Andy Irvine celebrates his birthday at Gig. And he's been a member of various Irish groups. And Gig is, and then Thursday, oh no, forget it, Thursday's tonight, over. For more information, it is at 1808 2nd Street, and they seem not to have a phone number.
No, they never have a phone number. Gig doesn't want a phone number in there. And for us, stars will stop where they are. What are you going to do this weekend?
Oh, wow, there's a great big black dog in this cafe right now.
Yeah.
But it's an assistance dog, so it's allowed to be here.
I wish it would assist me.
What am I doing? I am hanging out.
That's pretty good. I'm going to go see a theater show and watch some TV, try to clean my apartment, and see if I can stop drinking for a couple hours on Saturday afternoon. That's better to clean the apartment with. Today, that conceptual art thing's got me thinking. I'm going to go back and rework that piece with the two women in the bathtub. Today, the minutes seem like hours. The hours go by slowly and still.
Robert Knott. Is the associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services.
Thank you.
And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today.
Hey, Laurel. Thank you.
Yay. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta.
Yeah, but I won't be on that. Today, the minutes seem like hours. The hours went by slowly. I'll see you around, kiddo.
Yeah, I'll see you around. And on Monday on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, the next in our opera series, which is always fun. We do all five. We do an hour on each of the five operas at the Santa Fe Opera.
So I could learn something about it.
You could, in fact, learn. I learn a whole
lot
every year.
Which one are you doing? Because I have to do Figaro. I have to go talk to them about Figaro on Tuesday.
I'll have to look it up. I can't remember which is
when. Find out
which
if it's Figaro and call me.
Okay. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte.
You look scrumptious.
See you.
presumptuous or we'll something.
See, we'll see you next week.
Conceptual
You
art.
Crazy nut, Robert Knott. We'll see you soon.
I'll see you.